Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good morning. If you've been outside, you know, it really is a good morning. Mike and I were talking about it. I think we've had six kind of crummy Sunday mornings in a row. It's gorgeous outside this morning. But nevertheless, wherever you're going, keep your radio on. If you were out this morning to get the Minneapolis paper, you probably learned that you don't know how the second game came out for the Twins because it was so long. How long, Hammer? 3:28. Twins won that game 10-5. They wound up splitting the doubleheader. Jimmy Butler, he was the big news during the week. Jimmy Butler will join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to Steve Rushen from Bloomington, Minnesota, Sports Illustrated. Steve's got a new book coming out this week called Stingray Afternoons. Well, it's always fun to catch up with Steve Rushen. Kyle Rau, who is the Mr. Hockey in the state of Minnesota, one of the signees for the Minnesota Wild. We'll talk to Kyle, P.J. Fleck at 10:30. Sid will join us at 10:30. We've got a couple surprise guests. And then 11 o'clock hour, Tom Swain, one of the great citizens of the state of Minnesota. Tom will be our guest. So stay tuned. We'll try to find a time to get you involved by text, phone call. Should be a fun morning. I know I'm looking forward to it. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. Well, the big news in town this week was certainly the Minnesota Wild and Timberwolves, especially the Timberwolves with probably two deals. We know about the Jimmy Butler deal. Nobody can really talk about George Teague. In fact, we tried to get Timberwolves spokespeople on the radio this morning, and there's kind of a radio silence imposed by the NBA, so we will not have that. But we did get a chance to talk to Jimmy Butler, who made quite an impression on this town. Let's listen in.
Jimmy, what was this like as it was going down the pike and unfolding? It was a trade. It wasn't free agency, but do you have a say in this at all? Are you monitoring this and saying yay or nay to where I want to go in Minnesota?
Didn't have too much of a say in it.
Really? They told you?
Yeah. Like I don't control where I move to. I just get told where I move to. And you know, I was in Europe enjoying life with D Wade and Melo and. Then my agent calls me, hey, you're being moved to Minnesota. Perfect. I'm getting back to life, and I'm going to enjoy my time over here, and now I'm here.
But, I mean, obviously you had to at least look at it and say, I like this, I don't like this. Were you okay with this?
I get to wake up every day, play the game that I love. Now I get to put on for this amazing city. I got my people around me. I'm healthy. I'm smiling. Like, what is there not to smile about? And you're in a great city at that. I think I'm going to be just fine.
Coach Thibodeau, obviously, you know, he brought you into the NBA, baptized you to the NBA, so to speak. But that doesn't mean you weren't a star right away. What was it like to play for Coach Tibbs right away in Chicago?
It was rocky at first. Yeah. We won't lie. It was rocky at first. But he saw the potential in me as a kid coming into this league. And he challenged me on a daily basis to be great. And then I finally started to be okay, and he pushed me even more. And then I just, you know, took off and all-star and all of that good stuff. But Tibbs has been a big help to me in my career.
Was it a situation where maybe he could see something that you couldn't see? Your 30th pick overall, that it's great to be in the first round, but those usually aren't the guys that elevate to all-star status. Do you think he could see something in you that even you couldn't see?
Probably so, because I was just happy to be in the NBA.
Sure.
I was happy just to be there. From Tom Ball to say, hey, my name was called, I was in the NBA. I was good with that. But then I realized, like, maybe I'm here to stay. Maybe I am okay. Maybe I can really play this game. And he was like, yeah, you're going to be better and okay because you're going to work. You're going to work every single day. And I bought into that, and I'm here sitting in front of you.
He always talked about your toughness, that you understand what toughness means. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think it's just built within me. I think, you know, when you're tough, you don't back down. You're not scared of anything, anybody. You look at everybody the exact same. And you love to compete. That's what comes with that. And I've been taught that. I've always had that. Just that fight. You got to have it each and every day, each and every night. You got to have that toughness. And I have it. We have it. We're gonna be just fine here.
I picture you as the guy, the classic guy that you see out in the playground every day playing basketball, playing hoops, you know, winner keeps court, do everything you can to win so you can keep the court. Is that who you were growing up?
No, because this is why I carry this around. That's exactly why. This is my first love. I love football. I still do to this day. So it wasn't on a court at first for me. It was on a football field. But then it got really, really hot in Texas, and I decided to go inside to the AC, which is a very smart move for my career because I panned out to be a decent basketball player. And now I'm an NBA player.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, you mentioned many times, is a friend of yours. Who is it? How did this? Where did you ever meet the Pittsburgh Steelers' Antonio Brown?
Travell Gaines, my trainer. We first got together through him. Now we work out together in the off season. I'm on the field doing football training. I train in the pool like I'm a swimmer. I train on a football field. I'll train baseball, soccer, any of that. Just because it's so different, because I'm not on the court doing what I have to do 7 months out of every year.
Sure.
It's just a different way to compete. And he's probably much better at this game than I am. So it gives me a competitive edge. Like, I know you probably can beat me, but I'm still going to compete.
You did something that garnered national attention at your press conference. You gave out your phone number. And basically it was a response to a question from someone that said, are you a good locker room influencer? Are you a good guy, a bad guy, the kind of guy you can build around? And you're calling out the people that maybe have called you out and said, okay, if you want to talk to me, bring it on. Here's my phone number. But what was the strategy behind all that?
Well, I just feel like everybody always has something to say. You got my number. You call and you say it to me. That is my phone number. Text me, whatever you feel. I just feel like if you don't know me and you're not in the locker room or you're not around my team, don't sit here and talk about how you know how I am, because you don't. I hang around the same people, and my people would never say that. So I don't get where people get that stuff from. Somebody should take the blame. I'll take the blame, but let me take the blame. I don't need you sitting here talking about how I'm a bad person and this and that. I'm not here for all of that. I'm not.
The Timberwolves is a team, though. You've seen them. You've assessed them. You know what they're trying to do, et cetera, et cetera. You know Tibbs.
They handle stuff over here is amazing. You know, all the people that help behind the scenes have been phenomenal since I've been here. And those are the people that matter the most, to tell you the truth, because they're the ones that don't get the credit that they deserve, but they're working their tail off 9 to 5 every day to make sure we have everything we need, man. That's the culture around here. Everybody's taking care of everybody. It's a family atmosphere. That's what you want to play for. That's the city you want to play in. That's what you get here.
Every day you got to show up. You got to set the example. And you know that. But what do you need to be in the locker room for this team?
I need to be in the locker room. I need to be me. I can tell you that. I know what answer you're probably looking for. If I'm doing me and being who I know that I am, there's different styles of leading. But if I'm being me each and every day, I think that's going to be enough throughout that locker.
Who's the best leader that you've ever seen in basketball life? Who's the best leader you've ever been around?
I've ever seen? There's a lot. But I think my college coach was a phenomenal one. He was. Buzz Williams was great. Yeah, he's great, man. He gets his guys to buy in. That's my guy. I get to see him soon, too, so I'm happy.
Mike, you spent almost 20 minutes alone with Jimmy Butler. What were your impressions?
Confident, understands who he is, understands that he can play a team game and a two-way game and doesn't have to get overly concerned about statistics. He's tried to ingratiate himself with Carl Anthony Towns. The irony is this kid that had nothing in Houston. Grew up there. We were joking because I thought he should have gone to San Jacinto down there where Coach Gernander from Minnesota was the coach, and he knew all about San Jacks, but he just got lucky and ended up at Tyler Community College, really wanted to be a football player. But afterwards, he flew to L.A. on his private plane, so you've got that weird confluence. He and his brother was here. His cousin was here, his agent. I think Carl Anthony flew out with him, too, to L.A. So he's got he goes out there now and trains with Antonio Brown and other guys in the summertime, but extreme confidence about who he is and not all that concerned about whether he puts up points or not, more consumed with winning.
It's kind of funny. Everybody knew about Jimmy Butler was rumored, during the
since
year.
Since Thibodeau came here.
And ever since Thibodeau came, that Jimmy Butler, one way or another, was going to wind up here. But we knew a little about Jeff Teague, that I call him George Teague.
You weren't the first one, man.
I kept saying George Teague. I'm thinking of the Packer
or a D-back. Yeah, I kept saying that for 2 days. And Jeff Teague's a nice player. He's I guess, an upgrade from Rubio to an extent. But you're also paying a lot more money. It's too bad. They went hard after Millsap yesterday, and so far they've come up short, and it sounded like Denver had become the leader in that thing. He's an all-star type that could really help him, a big body. Yeah. There's still a lot of names on there, but I got to tell you, Dave, the NBA is so successful that all you got to do is make the league for 2 years and you're set. I mean, the money is incredible. And somebody's going to get it, so if you happen to be a free agent at the right time, it doesn't matter how good you are. Your status just gets elevated. $18 million a year for Teague.
Yeah, it's beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
When you look at people who are making even 10 years ago, and you say, how could anybody be worth that? It's a third-string point guard.
Yeah.
Is making that kind of money.
Yeah.
Well, let's change topics. We're going to talk hockey next. Wild also active, and Kyle Rowe is going to join us as soon as we come back, so stick around for that. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we open things up talking basketball. Let's swing things over and talk hockey. During the day yesterday, the Wild announced 7 signings, and I think people took a lot of look at them, recognized some names more than others, and all of a sudden you're left winger Kyle Rowe, and you go, wow, Mr. Hockey in the state of Minnesota. Kyle joins us right now. Kyle, had you had any indication earlier that the Wild had a strong interest in you?
No, I didn't really know much. I only called a couple days ago, and then we just kind of went from there and worked something out.
Kyle, what was it like the last few years in Florida, playing down there and getting a taste of the NHL? And that's quite an education when you get to go into that league and go away from home for a bit. What's these last few years been like?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Florida was great. It's a good spot to play hockey in the wintertime, and fun spot to live and a good organization. So, yeah, I was thankful for my time there.
Kyle, we were trying to remember, what year was it that you were Mr. Hockey at Eden Prairie? Time goes by so fast, and we're going, well, that must have been 11 or 12, but then you do the math, 4 years at U, 3 in Florida. We were back around 10?
Yeah, 2011 I graduated, so.
Last time EP took the top honors, they've been close, but it was that goal from Kyle Rowe that won the last one.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, when you think back on your Gopher career, what stands out? Obviously, Mike just talked about the goal everybody remembers in the tournament at Eden Prairie. How about the Gopher career?
I don't know. I think just how much fun I had. Like, it was nice being at home, so close to home, and then growing up watching the Gophers, too, so it was I think just the amount of fun I had. It was a great spot.
You might be the first brothers that have played for the Wild that I know of, because your brother Chad made it up to the big leagues with the Wild. What's he up to now? What's his influence in your life?
Yeah, he's playing in the KHL right now. So he leaves in a couple days already, believe it or not. But he's been great. Definitely a good person to have, just to be able to bounce ideas off of and someone you can relate to and he can relate to me, so it's nice to just be able to talk to him.
Kyle, around all leagues, NHL, NBA, people saying, well, you probably don't want to go to Minnesota because it's so cold there. Obviously, you got a chance to play 3 years in Florida, but how did you defend Minnesota when people say, well, it's a great place, great hockey fans, but, man, it's cold there in the winter?
Yeah, that's what everyone says. But, I mean, everyone that knows Minnesota, it's maybe cold for like a month, but like too cold for a month, and that's fine, so.
How's Nick Bjugstad doing down there, one of your teammates and from Gophers in Florida?
Yeah, he's doing good. I was fortunate to have him in the organization so I could ask him anything and have a good friend to just talk to about anything that I was wondering. Didn't have to worry if I thought the question wasn't the smartest or whatever. I didn't have to be embarrassed. I could just go talk to him, so it was nice.
Yeah, we all need somebody like that. How do you decide when you become a free agent? What's the game like there in terms of trying to – do you pick a place based on depth at your position? Obviously, you have a connection to the Wild. How do you and Paul and Neil come up with the best game plan?
Yeah, we just kind of look at the depth chart and look and see where what feels good in my gut. And obviously, Minnesota, that's a dream to try to play for them. So it was the opportunity came, and it was obviously too tough to pass up, and I'm really excited about it.
Kyle, appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you at training camp.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's Kyle Rowe. I'll be back right after this. Talk some more sports. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, they are back. I just want to preview the 10 o'clock hour a little bit. Steve Rushen has got a new book out called Stingray Afternoons. And Steve Rushen, you know, growing up in Bloomington, Minnesota, always a fun guest. And he's back in Minnesota visiting over the holidays, and he'll join us at 10:05. I think his book officially comes out in the next couple of weeks, Mike, so we'll be right on the front end of that.
Awesome. You had a big concert coming up, a fundraiser.
Yeah, Camden's Concert. It's the eighth year that we've been doing this. Our grandson was diagnosed at birth with cystic fibrosis. He's doing great now. He's 9 and a half years old, but we said we'd do something for 10 years, so we do this concert. Got a group called the Wright Brothers. They're going to be at the Hopkins Center for the Arts on July 11th. There's still tickets left and online right now at a place called Bidding for Good. We've got an auction and got some fun items in there. One of the hot ones right now is called Dinner with the Daves, a chance to go to the Twins game, have dinner with Dave St. Peter, Dave Lee, and myself, and then four tickets in the right behind home plate in that area with a nice meal. That's a big item. Chance to sit in on this show, so a couple people in the future will be sitting in, not on the air, but they'll be observing the show. They'll get a tour of Almanac with Eric Escalar, our old friend. That's
oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. Big Super Bowl package. Dinner at our house with Mark Coyle and his wife. There's about 100-plus items on there. Dinners at Murray's and Kincaid's and Jackson and our favorite restaurants all around the Twin Cities. So people are interested in that, biddingforgood.com/Camden, or just go to Bidding for Good and look for Minnesota Auctions. It's the only one on there at the time. Yeah, but the Wright Brothers are a fun group. They got their start here in Bloomington. A lot of people who were dating in the 70s probably heard them at the Ramada Inn of the Carlton Celebrity Room. And they do a wonderful job, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you for asking.
They tell me, and I'm not a doctor, but the people that work for CF that I know and have known say that the progress has been amazing.
I'll give you an example, Mike. I was on their board 35 years ago. I didn't know anyone with cystic fibrosis. Turns out I'm a carrier. I had no idea. And no one in our family before our grandson had ever had it. And the time I was on the board, the average life was 12. The average life expectancy was 12. It's in there. Right now, the average life expectancy is in the mid-40s.
And going up, they say.
Rapidly. The advances in medicine treatments are so good that Cameron's doctor said that he'll probably live to be older than 65 or 70. He'll die of something other than cystic fibrosis. Uh-huh. So, I mean,
nice to hear those once in a while, because you hear about research, and sometimes you wonder where we're going, you know, and to find out there's actual progress.
Yeah, CF is a really nasty disease. People look fine, but, you know, it's tearing up their insides. And he was on one of these vests, and he took about 10,000 pills a year. But he's off the vest. He's off the pills. He's doing fine. And a lot of other people are making, you know, just massive strides with it. And I think the CF people feel that it's probably the next smallpox or polio, that they're that close to being able to put it in the past tense, which would be great. And a concert over the first 8 years, we've raised $362,000 for CF research. And by the time we're done in 10 years, we'll be over $500,000. So, a lot of people can contribute to that if they want. They can come to the concert, or they go on the website. There's some great items to bid for on the website. I want to mention Tom Swain. Tom Swain is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Tom Swain, one of the great Minnesotans around. Lori Sturtevant did a great book called Citizen Swain. Came out, I believe, a year ago, and talked about Tom Swain. Going to have his 96th birthday on July 4th.
This got to be some kind of record, a 97-year-old interviewing a 96-year-old.
Well, I thought so, and then Hammer reminded me that we had John Kunla on last year. So this we're vying for the number two spot right now. I thought it was with you, Max. Yeah, but good for Hammer for remembering that. But, yeah, Tom Swain will be raising the flag for the Twins in that 110 game against the Angels on July 4th. And July 4th is his actual 96th birthday. We'll talk to Tom in the 11 o'clock hour. He and Sid go back, they go back probably 70, 80 years together. They're probably the longest time friends that one another have. And it'll be fun having Tom on. We're trying to get somebody from the Twins, but Hammer found out that the Twins are going to learn between 10 and 11, Hammer, who their all-star representative is going to be.
And then it's embargoed. They can't say.
Right. Yeah. So we hope to get somebody from the Twins about 10:45. That's our plan. We've got, who else? Oh, P.J. Fleck. As far as we know, P.J. will be joining us at his semi-regular time, which will be 10:30 this morning. And then Sid will be in the studio with us in a few minutes, and then he'll join us for that P.J. Fleck interview at 10:30. We've got about another minute here to go. Hammer, who else do we have? There's somebody I'm...
Max Williams is going to join us.
Talk about Max Williams.
He and his brother, his father, Brian, were working at the health club with me the other day, or by me. And so I said, can we call you on Sunday before you go back to Baltimore? And he's in between, now in training camp and all that goes with it. And Yeah, and of course his father played for the Giants and the Gophers, and he's a go-getter kind of guy, boy. So it's fun to visit, fun to bump into him and visit with him because he's playing for Jim Harbaugh there, and they had Mark Trestman as their offensive coordinator, and then Harbaugh let him go, and I understand, we can look it up, I'm not sure, but they said he's back in Canada as a head coach.
Really?
That's what they said, and I haven't checked it because...
That's right, man. Actually, I hadn't seen that. But I hadn't either. He's got a rich history in Canada.
I'm sure he can name his job there, right? Because he had so much success with Montreal.
Yeah, with Montreal, he's a legend. We've got Canadian friends, and you bring up football, and they go right away to Trestman. All right, Hammer?
He's the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts.
So that's where you end up going back to.
All right.
Made a lot of money down south of the border for a few years.
Semi-breaking news. We'll pursue it a little bit later on the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.